And we got you now. Please stand for the reading of the word. Our text this morning is from Acts chapter 20, verse 25 through 28. And indeed, now I know that you all among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God will see my face no more. Therefore, I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for your blessing. We thank you for the gift of a new elder, for Jeff James and for his family and the blessing that they are to this congregation. Lord, right now, may we receive from your word and may we glorify you in everything that we do. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. Thursday, as I was traveling here on the train in the middle of a 14-hour delay, we arrived in Sacramento at 4 o'clock in the morning. But during that time, I had a lot of opportunities to think about what I would be saying here. And one of the thoughts that ran across my mind was, I'm preaching out of Acts. These people know about Acts. They've heard about Acts before. But then I thought, no, this is okay. This is the occasion that has brought me here. And one of the things I thought about as I was doing that was, over the years, I've had the opportunity to attend several ordinations and or installations of pastors. Many of them were when I was very young. Most of you at Church of the King know my background. I have felt a call to the ministry from a very young age. I was attending ordination services from the time I was very small. And I've always paid attention to certain things. But I noticed as I got older, the ordination services and the installation services became much more personal. I began to understand the awesome responsibility that is entailed in being an elder in Christ Church. Last April, we installed two elders at Providence Reformed Church in Grand Junction. And I was given the task of giving the charge to those two new elders. And in going through that, I read a charge from an ordination service. And I want to read that to you real quick. And some of it is from the scripture you just heard. But listen to this. I charge you elders to guard yourself and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. Be a friend and Christ-like example to children. Give clear and cheerful guidance to young people. By word and example, bear up God's people in their pain and weakness, and celebrate their joys with them. Hold in trust all sensitive matters confided to you. Encourage the aged to persevere in God's promises. Be wise counselors who support and strengthen the pastor. Be compassionate, yet firm and consistent in rebuke and discipline. Know the scriptures, which are useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. Pray continuously for the church. Remember at all times that if you would truly give spiritual leadership in the household of faith, you must be completely mastered by your Lord. I remember in April, when I read that, that my response was, who do you think you're kidding? How can anyone do this? Woe is me. Every age group is mentioned. And there's a huge list of responsibilities that are listed. Conspicuous by its absence is administration and leadership of an organization. That's not there. Organization, not there. Woo! The very thing we spend so much time considering in the church is not what's mentioned there. But yet the charge is still so comprehensive that we are doomed to experience failure along the way. I've been a pastor for years. I can look back and count my failures. No, I can't. There's a lot more than I can count. Okay? But I see them. I look at them and I go, whoa. What is wrong with this guy? Will I ever know the scripture enough? Will I ever pray faithfully enough? Will I ever be wise enough? These are questions that I'm sure you're thinking of right now. Will I ever measure up? So how do we hear the words of this calling as an encouragement? And it's true that while particulars are mentioned, the charge is not fundamentally about the particulars. You shouldn't go home and make a list of the activities and checking them off as you go about your work. What the charge reveals is a way of being among God's people. I believe that one of the reasons an elder is nominated for the office, and you guys would know this, is because others have seen evidence of a walk with God. The compassion of Christ, wisdom formed by Scripture, the desire to live in faithfulness to God and follow the way of Christ. This is a way of being. It speaks of the values that shape our life. The charge is a call to deepen the way of Christ in our lives. And this raises another question. What are we doing as elders? And I guess I'm only speaking to a few of us in this regard. But what are we doing as elders that will encourage us to be formed by Christ? According to the Heidelberg Catechism on Lord's Day 33, it's the way of deepening our walk with God by putting off the old self and putting on the new self. It is marked by continuous prayer and gratitude. These are practices and conversations that mark our way of being. And so there were a few things I jotted down that I thought I would mention. And first off, an elder is called to be a shepherd. What is a shepherd? If I went around the room and asked what your occupations were, I don't think we have a lot of shepherds here. Now, you have to understand, we live in Grand Junction, Colorado. An hour away from Grand Junction is Meeker, Colorado. You guys ever heard of Meeker? Meeker is the home to the national sheepdog trials every year. Okay? There's shepherds in that town. But what they do is they open up the town for the sheepdog festival, and then what they do is running through the streets of the town, they have 250,000 sheep. All right? And then they bring out the sheepdogs to round them up, and people stand there and they cheer. And you're like, oh, this is really cool. A lot of shepherds in Meeker. Okay? But you learn a lot of things by watching this. And please don't be insulted by this, but sheep are stupid. All right? And they do a lot of crazy things. But these sheepdogs get out there, and what they do is they run down the streets of town, and you think, this is just begging for a disaster. And what happens is the sheepdogs keep them in line and they guide them right where they're supposed to go. And I realize, man, if I could be a shepherd like that, things would be great. All right? And after the festival, the sheepdog festival, you know what they're doing? They're cleaning up a huge mess. All right? This is what's happening at the Sheepdog Festival. That's what they're doing out there. But these sheepdogs, they're out there and they're doing their job. They're not complaining. They're not. That's what they're doing. I recently saw a picture, and you know, we're not sheepdogs, we're shepherds. But I had a picture sent to me the other day. And this is a big thing up there in Colorado. But it was a picture of a sheepdog. And he was bloodied and he was beaten. Because what he'd done is he'd fought off a wolf. And as he was laying there, bloody and beaten, the thing that struck me about it was the sheep gathering around him, tending his wounds. And he laid everything out for the sheep. And someone sent me that picture. And it was encouraging because they said, I want to be this for you. And trust me, there are those times. When you're a shepherd of the sheep, there's a concern for the sheep and there's a care for the sheep, even when you don't feel like you're up to the task. You have to be up to the task. Shepherds are concerned about sheep, not management styles. And I'm not saying we need to be cruddy managers, but our primary concern is about the sheep. I have met a lot of pastors in my life. I have met a lot of elders in my life who know their Bibles well. And I'm not trivializing that. But remember, as an elder, one of your primary concerns is people. It's people that we're concerned about. As a shepherd, your job is to shepherd people. And trust me, they're messier than sheep. But your concern is with people. And so elders need to focus on their relationships with people. And building these relationships requires action on multiple levels. Not just the less than annual home visit. It's easier with some people to build relationships than others. So the question worth asking here is, what are we doing as an elder that builds relationships with people who attend our congregation? Are we welcoming people into our homes? Are we spending time with various sectors of the congregation, not just our group? Do we provide opportunities for conversations on things that matter? Or do we stay with the easy conversations about the weather? These are all things that must be inculcated in the life of a shepherd. The second thing that we need to remember, and this is not necessarily hard, and I think we all know this on a surface level, and I'm speaking specifically to our elders in this regard, they're ultimately not your sheep. They're Christ's sheep. He purchased them with his blood. Christ is the good shepherd. In John 10, 7 through 17, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But a hireling, there's a contrast here, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he's a hireling and does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and I am known by my own. The purpose of the shepherd, the under-shepherd, if you will, in this case, your job is to guard and protect Christ's sheep. That's your job. You're a guard. You're a protector. The Hebrew word for guard is the word shamar. It means to keep or to guard. When Adam was placed in the garden, he was told to shamar the garden. To keep it. To tend it. To guard it. To build it up. That was to shamar the garden. When Adam was given his wife, he was told to shamar her. The shepherds are told to shamar the flock of God, to guard it, to keep it. The same task that was given to Adam is the same task that is given to the shepherds. They're to guard and to keep and to watch and to protect. That's the one thing about Hebrew. The words mean a lot. But that means there's more responsibility. And what is entailed in the watching over the flock of God? Well, part of it is you have to feed them. And we feed the sheep in multiple ways. We feed them with the Word of God. Never take the preaching of the Word of God lightly. You're proclaiming to them life. You're proclaiming to the people Christ. Never take that lightly. We administer the sacrament. This is part of feeding the church of God. He also has to protect the flock. He sees danger. He warns and he fights. A shepherd must fight. I had a failing in my shepherding duty about 6 months ago. Don't worry, it wasn't major. Nothing consequential came out of it. But I was at Chick-fil-A. And I was irritated. I'll give you some background so you can understand this. I was distracted and I was irritated because my internet connection at the church was down. And I called tech support and they said they would call me back. I said, okay. And trust me, my internet connection at the church is bad. I've had this problem before. But I said, okay, while I'm waiting for them to call back, I'm going to go and get me a chicken sandwich. So I did. So I drove the chicken sandwich, and as I'm driving, my phone rings, and legally we can talk on the phone in Colorado and drive. So I wasn't breaking any laws. And I was talking to the people about my phone and about my internet connection. And then she said, okay, we're going to put you on hold for a minute. Irritated? Anyone ever get the irritation from that? We're going to put you on hold for a minute. Well, then I get to Chick-fil-A, and I'm walking up, and they come back on, and I'm trying to talk to them. I've got something in my hand. I don't know what it was, in my phone in this hand, and I'm walking up to Chick-fil-A, and I watched a family come out of Chick-fil-A, and they had a little girl about that size right there. And they were not paying attention to her. No one was paying attention to her. And they were talking, giving their greetings. And I watched her step off the curb and walk in front of a van. And she was little. The van didn't see her. And I tried to shout. I tried to scream. I tried to say, yeah! And that's about what came out. Nothing happened to her. But I saw the danger coming, and I wasn't able to do anything. I failed at that moment. All right? She was fine. Someone else was a better shepherd than me. I didn't know this girl. Someone alerted them, and they got her out, and admonishments went back and forth amongst the child, and she was fine. But the moment of gut-wrenching terror that I felt as I saw this unfolding before my eyes was, well, maybe you've seen something like that before. But as a shepherd in the church of God, what we're called to do is we're to look for danger. And when we see it, we're to call it out. And when we call it out, that's when you guys have a task. You need to recognize we're doing it for your good. And it's not always easy to do. Because I don't know if you guys might not know this about me. I kind of like to be liked. All right? And sometimes when you call people out, they don't like you very much. All right? And it's uncomfortable. But that should never stop you from watching out for the sheep and calling out when they need to be called out. Don't ever let that fear hold you back. Watch for danger. Guard the sheep. Warn them of what is coming. He warns, and sometimes the danger requires a fight. And when it requires a fight, you need to be ready to put up. And the only way you can do that is if you yourself are prepared and trained for the task that is before you. Another thing a shepherd does is he leads the congregation. The classic example of this is in Psalm 23, where he leads them beside still waters. He leads them where they should go. Many pastors like to study deep esoteric meanings in the scripture. Don't take the sheep on wild speculative journeys. We take the sheep by still waters. We lead them to Christ. We show them Christ. And we don't have to, you know what? Trust me, I'm someone who likes the wild speculative journeys. But the sheep need Jesus. And what we need to teach them is we need to teach them Jesus. And we need to be ruled by both word and spirit. The charge reminds us that our central task is to the Word of God. There we find guidance for life, promises to encourage, and words of correction. In the scripture, we hear the story of salvation, and it should inform our faith and shape our own story. Knowing the scripture is not optional. So the question is simple. How is our knowledge of scripture increasing? Is the Spirit guiding us in harmony with the Word of God? Increasing in knowledge means reading the scripture and studying it. To take the charge of elder seriously invites us to reflect on our practices that are developing that knowledge. I know I'm not the only one who's reflected deeply on that at times. And I want to remind you, there is a difference between reading the Word of God and studying the Word of God. I'm not saying we shouldn't just read. That's great. But much of the life and practice of an elder is to read and study the Word of God. To ask yourself the hard questions. What does this mean? How am I measuring up? We must know it because God has called us to lead the flock. And the guideline we have for this is the Word of God. I believe it was your pastor who told me this. Pastor Stuess. But one of my favorite authors when I was a youngster was John Bunyan. John Bunyan was a nonconformist pastor, which meant he was not licensed with the Church of England at the time. And he was imprisoned for preaching without a license, essentially. And while he was in prison, he wrote the book Pilgrim's Progress, which many of you have heard about. But his knowledge of the scripture was so deep that one of his critics said, if you cut him, he will bleed scripture. If you cut him, he will bleed scripture. That's what we need to be. And another thing we need to do is we need to know how to encourage, uplift, and yes, we do need to know how to rebuke. And I saw something last night on my Facebook page. Andrew Sandlin, who many of you know, was very influential in me coming to the Reformed faith, said this. He said, this falls under the category of people who should never be allowed in church leadership. And here's what Andrew Sandlin wrote. Pastor Jim West, and many of you know him, once told me that a young man new to their church met him in the middle aisle after worship one Sunday and said solemnly, Pastor, I'm presenting myself to serve as an elder. Taken aback, Jim replied, well, that's a high calling. Why do you want to be an elder? Because I want to rebuke people. I was talking to Jeff yesterday. He said, I'm all for the rebuke in here. No. If your desire to be an elder is to rebuke people, you shouldn't be an elder. But if you won't rebuke people, you shouldn't be an elder either. Okay? But that's, trust me, that's not the fun part of the job. The charge is filled with commands to encourage, guide, rebuke, and shepherd. It means we act in our relationships, and this is not an easy task. We all know the hazards of speaking when we should be silent and being silent when we should speak. We're well aware of the damage that can be done and the blessing that can be given. The wonders of an apt word are many. So the question we have to ask ourselves continuously is, how are we growing in our understanding, in our practices? Over the years in pastoral leadership, I have gone to workshops on listening, on dealing with addictions, abuses in the home, on community, on marriage. All of these workshops are intended to give insight and provide ways we can better encourage and even rebuke. And one of the things I'll say is, we're never done learning and exploring the mysteries of the common life. We're called to act, but we must act in wisdom. And that's something we must constantly be honing and sharpening. And learning does not just happen. It means seeking wisdom, going to other elders, going to men of God, seeking counsel. That means another thing the elders need to do is they need to have a practice of seeking wisdom from other men. Now, I've talked about the responsibilities of the elders. I want to talk about the responsibility of the sheep. Hebrews 13:7, it says, "Obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you." You guys have all heard the jokes over the years about the vows in marriage and the woman promising to obey. People say, obey. Promising to obey her husband. And it may be a funny thing or sometimes a fun thing to joke about, but it is a biblical command. We can joke about it and we can laugh and everything, but that is a biblical command. Wives, obey your husbands. It says it. But likewise, we are commanded to obey and be submissive to our elders because they watch out for your souls. There may be times that you think they're wrong. There may be times when they are wrong. I'm not speaking for them. I'm speaking for me. I've been wrong. But one of the things I think is important for us to remember is that they, as your elders, have a responsibility before God for your soul. And you guys need to weigh that one really heavily. When you stand before God, you will give an account for the souls of the sheep that God has placed in your care. You must give account to them. But sheep, you have to remember, they are giving an account for you. And I cannot tell you the immense responsibility that is. Think about it for a moment. Pastor Stuess, Elder James, and myself, though somewhat distantly, are going to be held to account for the way in which we shepherd God's flock. They're his sheep, and he's placed them in our care. And we have to say, I've done this, or I've failed here. That's a massive responsibility. And I didn't tell you that for you to feel sorry for us. I tell you that to remind you that the command for the church here is that it is your responsibility, according to this passage, that we serve you and that our service would be with joy and not with grief. And of course, there are providential events that are beyond any of our control that bring sorrow and sadness, and yes, grief. That can't be helped. Our life is a life of sorrows. Because we're sinners, we will experience sorrow. We will experience pain. But when I look at this passage, I want to look at it this way. When you call Elder James on the telephone, don't be the type of person where when he sees your name on the caller ID, he goes, "Oh no." Don't be that type of person. Do everything in your power to make their service a service of joy. All right? And yes, you do bear responsibility there. There's a way to be joyful, and there's a way to not be. You need to pray for your elders. You need to lift them up before heaven, and you need to encourage them in their task. I said it earlier, and I'll say it again. In being an elder and being a shepherd of the flock of God, it is an awesome responsibility. And the reason comes down almost entirely to the fact that, yes, we must give account. And that's scary. So pray for them. Pray for your elders. And that's not to say we never have concerns or issues the way they might do something. That's not to say we're beyond reproach. But we must, in obedience to God's word, obey and submit to their rule and recognize that they must give an account before God for you. May they do that in joy and not grief. And lastly, I'm going to close with this. The charge can be overwhelming. We're given an opportunity to work alongside God and serve Christ in our communities. There is a great joy in watching people grow in faith and watching the church grow in its devotion to Christ. There is marvelous blessing in that. And my prayer for Church of the King is that God would bless this congregation, and may God give you, Jeff, a deep joy in your service to Church of the King and to the Kingdom of God. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for your word. I thank you for all you have told us and all you have promised us. May you give our elders here at Church of the King wisdom and direction, and may you give this congregation joy and satisfaction in knowing who you have chosen to lead them before you. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I need that.